Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get to serve the Lord. Amen. I enjoy serving the Lord. Amen. You know, if we don't enjoy serving the Lord, or if it's not our desire or delight, then we really need to check our hearts. But sometimes we can also serve the Lord out of obligation, you know, not necessarily that I really feel like doing this, but God wants me to do it, so I'm going to do it. It's very easy to get into a rut, even in the service of the Lord. And you know how that happens? It's when we lose Him in the process somewhere. We get busy doing stuff for God, you know, and working for God. And we stop walking with God. So you can be busy doing all kinds of church things, God things, and yet not really be walking in the place that God really wants you, and that's with Him. Yoked together with Jesus. Question I have this morning is something that when I ask myself this question, I have to be very honest and say, well, do I give God my very best? You know, when Jesus walked this earth, He did not seek to esteem Himself. Can anybody think of an instance where Jesus tried to esteem Himself when He walked this earth? Now, He was esteemed by others, and He was certainly esteemed by His Father. But nowhere do you see that Jesus esteemed Himself. There's a lot of talk about self-esteem today, you know. But Jesus esteemed the Father who sent Him. His goal, His desire was to glorify His Father. Likewise, we are not to seek to esteem ourselves, but our Father in heaven. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's a good way to check ourselves out, you know. And we should ask ourselves, well, why do I do what I do? What is my motive for what I do? Is it to esteem myself? Do you know you can also do things with the right motive and still be wrong? We can be sincerely wrong, right? We can be doing a good thing with a good motive, but actually not be doing what God has called us to do. Sometimes we can make a mess of things because we have a good idea. And even though it's not a wrong motivation on our hearts, it's not the right thing for us to do. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Does God deserve our best? Yes. Okay, first of all, right? Yes. Do I offer my best to God? Be careful now when you answer this. Think about it. Do I offer my best praise to God? Do I bring my best offering to God? Do I offer my best service to God? In other words, once again, do I offer my best to God? Can I suggest to you that to a lot of Christians, sports are more important than God? There's churches that will shut down just for the game. Now, I'm not talking about legalism this morning. I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about love for God. I'm talking about the honor of God here. That the God of creation, the one who created us for His pleasure, we were made for Him. Are we not to set aside some time just to give honor to Him? To reflect on His goodness? To give ourselves a time of Sabbath, of rest, not in a legalistic sense, but in a loving sense. Does not God deserve the first fruits of our lives and everything that we do, that He should be first in priority? Even when we meet in the beginning of the week, to come together and say, this is the time that we are setting aside to come together and give God our time, our lives, our best. You know, this is not a message of condemnation. The message is edification here. Because the way for us to be built, the way for us to enjoy the life that God has promised to us, is to get things into right order in our lives, to get things in right priority. And it's very easy for myself or any of us to be distracted. Amen? Has anybody ever been distracted? I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Malachi chapter 1. That's the last book of the Old Testament. After this prophecy, there was a 400-year period of silence. And that wasn't broken until John the Baptist came, the forerunner of Christ. Malachi was prophesying in a time when the nation was backslidden. There was all kinds of wicked practices and corrupt priests. They had this false sense of security. This was a situation in Israel where the people thought that they were in right standing with God, but were not. Do you know that you and I can think that everything is okay and yet it may not be? We can think, yeah, me and the man upstairs are pretty tight, and that may in fact not be the reality. How many know that God Himself will reveal where we really stand? We all have our concepts, our ideas, our opinions. We want to do it our way, you know. But there is a narrow way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so look at this, chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. And yet you say, they begin to question this. In what way have we despised your name? See, they weren't getting it. You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Now he's talking about animal sacrifice here. Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor. Now is the call to repentance, that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Whoa. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, and that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, in verse 12, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick, and thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. In other words, it was done for appearances. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Now we know that Israel was the chosen people, the people that he chose, not because they were better, but because God had decided to choose a people out of the earth to represent him on the earth. People were supposed to look at Israel and say, this is what Jehovah God is like. They were to represent him. And over again, instead of bringing honor to God, they brought shame, they brought reproach by their conduct and by their attitudes. Now, in the New Testament, you and I are grafted in. We are adopted by adoption. We are brought in, amen, to the same covenant that God had promised to Abraham, to Israel. Amen. And so how does this apply to me today? The same thing is true for us, folks, is that we are now to represent God in the earth. Are you with me? We are to represent Him, and we are to protect His honor. We are to honor Him. We are to glorify Him. We are to bring pleasure and praise to Him. We are to represent Him in such way, a way to the world around us, that they say, that is what God is like. That's what Jesus is like. You call yourself a Christian. Christian means a follower of Christ. Christ's follower. And so when they look at our life, they should see that's reality. That's what Jesus is like. I want to know that Jesus. What kind of Jesus do we present to the world? Do we present a Jesus of our own fashioning? The Jesus that we want to accept and we want to kind of form God to fit our own opinion of God? Or are we presenting the true Jesus? In verse 6, in the latter part of that verse, he says, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? They were questioning this because they didn't understand that they'd been doing that. And that word despise means to disesteem. They had disesteemed him. Now the Lord is charging these priests with despising his name and failing to honor and reverence him. And so they had backslidden as a nation to such a place, and even in the priesthood, that they didn't even realize they were dishonoring God. This is the reality, folks, for us as well, that when we backslide, often we don't even realize what's going on. We don't realize how we're actually presenting ourselves in Christ to the world. What happens is when we begin to disconnect from God, blindness begins to set in. And while we think we're honoring God, we're actually bringing dishonor to His name. Because when you step away from the light and you don't abide in the light, what's the next thing that begins to encroach upon you is darkness. And when you're in darkness, you cannot see. And so we all have our own natural opinion of ourselves, which usually is pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I sang the songs. I listened to the sermon. I gave my offering. I shook a few hands and said, God bless you. And I spoke fluent Christianese. But the Lord said in verse 7 that you offered defiled food on my altar. And then they asked again, well, in what way have we defiled you? Saying, the table of the Lord is disesteemed. Same word, disesteemed. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. So what is the Lord saying here? He's saying you're bringing defiled offerings. Now, how many know that it's not just about giving money to the church? It's not about just, you know, Sunday school. It's not just about some kind of service that we do. But our lives, every aspect of our lives, we belong to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Our lives belong to Him. And so we are to glorify God in this body that we've been given, this earth suit, for a short time. And so when we talk about giving, we're talking about the whole offering. We want to give God leftovers, spare change. If I have any time left after I'm done doing everything I want to do, how many know that that is not putting God first? How many know that that is not giving God your best? And folks, I am challenged today by this question. Am I giving God my best? Am I lightly esteeming my God? Have I made him, his agenda, and the kingdom agenda, amen, my priority? Is the call of God on my life a priority? Is the mission of God on the earth our priority as the followers of Jesus? Do we give him, truly give him our best and our first? Wow. They were acting as if anything was good enough for the Lord. I want to just use this as an example, and I'm not picking on anybody here because, quite frankly, I don't pay attention to a lot of these things for a good reason. But when people give, and when we give, sometimes people are tipping God, you know? It's just like, are you with me? Is that what we can do? Is that our best? We need to ask the question. If you don't have much, then you just be faithful with what you have, okay? We're not talking about how much people give here. What I'm saying is the attitude of our giving. Why do I give in the first place? Some people give because they want people to notice that they give. Some people give because they want to control you by their giving. Well, if you don't do things, and we don't have that problem here, by the way, but I've run into it in the past. If you don't do things my way, then I'm going to withhold my tithe. Well, withhold your tithe then. It's between you and God. I'm not the one that's going to bless you. He is. But there are different reasons why people give. But whenever we give, and whatever we do in word or in deed, we should do all for the glory of God. Amen. And we should do it with our heart, with a cheerful attitude of gratitude, because God has blessed me, I'm going to bless him back. As a matter of fact, I don't have anything that he didn't give me. Even the offerings that they were to bring to God, amen, was something that God had gave them first. How many know that God doesn't need anything? He owns it all. He allows you and I to give as a benefit to us. When we serve in the right motivation, the right heart, in obedience to God, there's a blessing in your life, amen? A temporary blessing, but an eternal blessing. It's a joy to be in the will of God, to serve the Lord. What they were saying, folks, they were taking the animals, you know, that were blind or they were lame, and they were trying to, you know, we'll go with the cheap one. We'll go with the bargain basement offering today. What were they doing? They were disesteeming God by their attitude. They were saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. It's disesteemed. Any old thing will work for God. And many of them became weary in their service. Do you know, when we become weary in our service to God, it's because our hearts are falling away. When you love somebody, you will serve them gladly. Are you with me today? Yes. When we become weary in service, it's like, oh, are you hungry again? Here, throw something in the microwave. Nothing wrong with microwave cooking, by the way. Do you understand that when it comes to the things of God, we need to give him our very best because he deserves it all? Why? Because all good gifts come from the Father. Everything good in our lives is from him anyways. And as a way of blessing us eternally and the heavens, are you with me? Then we begin to give what we receive, even tangibly on the earth, back to God. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. As you're offering your best service, your life, you're giving everything to him, and you're doing it with a heart that is in gratitude and in thanksgiving and in love with the one that you're giving to. When you love somebody, you will willingly give yourself for them. When you love somebody, you will be passionate about them. You're willing to sacrifice yourself for them. Amen, guys? If you love your wife, you're willing to have some sleepless nights and some hard times so that you can go out and you can buy her a new dress or whatever. You do out of love and not just out of obligation. When it comes to God, it should never be out of obligation. Because the greatest commandment of all is that we would love God. Love God. And when we begin to leave that love, you see, the church of Ephesus left its first love. And they began to grow cold. And even though they were doing all these things and all these activities, and the Lord commended them for many things that they were doing that were good, yet he says, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. You don't love Christians, other brothers and sisters like you used to. And if you go to Ephesus today, there's nothing but ruins there. And because they did not repent, the Lord removed their candlestick. Amen? And the light went out in Ephesus. How many know that it's very important, folks, that you and I stay on fire for God? Stay close to God. In verse 9, he says, but now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. How many seek God's favor? I do. I want my Father's favor. I want to do the things that please him. I want to do it for the right reason, and I want to do exactly what he tells me to do. And so they're urged here to turn back to God. And then he's actually in verse 10, he says, you know, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? In other words, God is saying that because of your attitude, he wished that they would just shut the temple doors and that the sacrifices might stop. They were utterly unacceptable to him because they gave with the wrong motivation. They disesteemed the Lord in their offering. It was a routine. Here we go again. Just any old thing will do, you know. And it's clear from this text that God does not accept half-hearted offerings. He does not accept, I want you to hear this today, half-hearted service. Do you know sometimes we can even give of our substance in a way that's half-hearted? You just get into a rut and a routine of just doing this thing. And you forget the whole meaning of why. Why do I even give in the first place? Why? Because they'll give me a call and say, how come you haven't been tithing? We don't do that here. But that's between you and the Lord. But sometimes, you know, people in their heart, they begin to, you know, have you ever done that? You just kind of begin to question things. Have you ever thought about why you do what you do? I do. But not always. Sometimes I just do things and not even think about, well, why did I just do that? So have you, by the way. Sometimes we do things out of habit, out of obligation. Well, why do I do what I do? Because I have to. We get to do this, folks. We get to do this. I want to do this. I want to serve my Lord. That just sounded so pious and so self-righteous, isn't it? But you know, there's times when I felt the same way. Kind of felt weary about serving. Has anybody ever felt weary? You know, when you're a new Christian, especially, you're so on fire and excited about Jesus. And it's like, what can I do? Put me to work. I'm ready to serve. And before you know it, you got 12 irons in the fire, you know. And you're just running here and there and you're trying to do everything and you're doing a lot of good things, but not necessarily the right thing. And next thing you know, you're just like at burnout point and you're like, oh, man, something's going to give here. I can't keep up with it all. And you can lose your joy in the midst of all that. Colossians 3 and verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do in your service, in your giving, it's not unto men, it's unto Jesus. Amen. When we're up here and we always say this to each other, say, listen, we're before an audience of one. We're here to serve the King. Amen. We're here to worship the King. And if we had a sour note, it doesn't destroy us because we're here to serve the King. And whatever offerings we give to Him, we do the best we can with it. Amen. And if we hit a sour note, He gave it to us in the first place. Not the sour note, but He gave us the talents and the gifts. And when He gives you something, He wants you to hone it. He wants you to improve upon it. So I think we're getting better all the time. We're learning how to be led by the Spirit. None of us have arrived yet. We want to be able to tap into Him, amen, to draw life from Christ and make Him known and reveal Him. And so in order to do that, we've got to be selfless about this thing. Whether anybody sees you or not, you know, some people won't do anything unless somebody sees them. There's people that want to be in the pulpit because they want people to see them. How many know that that is not a good motivation? How many know that God does not accept that kind of worship, that kind of service? There are others who you may never see, that may never be in the spotlight, but they're going to have a great resurrection. They're going to have a great place in glory because what they did, they did unto Him. That's why Jesus said, even when you pray, amen, don't be like those in the marketplace who lift their hands to be seen of men. But He says, go into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It does not mean that you don't pray in church. What He's trying to say is that we need to examine our motives. Am I doing this to be seen of men, or am I doing this unto the Lord? So whatever you do, do it heartily. That means with your heart. As unto the Lord and not unto men. We're talking about giving God our best here this morning. He doesn't need anything from us because we are the work of His hands in the first place. And you know, another thing is sometimes we get a mentality that we are entitled to things. God owes me. We do that with our government. The government owes me. The government is supposed to take care of me. Folks, there are times when you need government support. And a good government should take care of people that really need it. Amen?
Amen.
But the Bible does not teach dependency. When a person is able-bodied, able-minded, and able to get out there and do something productive for themselves and for others. And even if you're on assistance, there are productive things you can do. Don't ever feel like, hey, there's nothing I can do or offer. Because you are a blessing and a gift to this world. We are not entitled, folks. Thank God. Why do we offer grace at the table? We call it grace. Why? Because it's God's grace that we got something to eat. Amen. It's God's grace that we got out of bed this morning. Yep. It's God's grace that we're not going to hell. Yep. We started this life from the foundation of being lost and going to hell. And so everything else is a blessing. Everything else is an add-on. That's why we must always be thankful in all things, because all good gifts come down from the Father. Even if it's a small thing, be thankful in the small thing. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, many people, they don't have a lot, but what they have, they're thankful for. Jesus, thank you for your goodness to us. It's because God loved us so much, He gave His Son. as an offering, the whole offering, His best for us. That it's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service that we would offer now our lives, our bodies, our future, our days to the service of the one who purchased me with His own blood on the cross. I'm His property. Do you know that your life now is to esteem God? Your life now is to bring honor to Him, to glorify Him. Your life now is to be offered back to Him as a reasonable service, a living sacrifice. That's why we're called to represent the Lord of glory, to honor Him. And people look at our lives, they should be seeing the reality of the God that they don't see, demonstrated and revealed through the people that they see. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11, "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And every place incense shall be burned and be offered in my name in a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Folks, I want you to know something, that even though there are many people who do not really understand the things that we're able to understand because we have been given the Word of God, in their hearts, they are still seeking after God. In their hearts, they're doing the best that they know how to do to bring offerings to the God, whoever the God or the great power is. In their hearts, God is actually looking at their hearts and seeing that many of these people, He's saying that even though they're non-Jewish peoples, not people of the covenant, they still have a heart that wants to worship God. He's saying, and here you are, the people of the covenant that have received the promises, that have had your eyes open to the truth, and you're coming before God as if it's a light thing, and you're giving Him just your leftovers, you're giving Him your second best. Folks, that should never be. And I'll tell you what, this is a message to me today. I'm asking myself, Lord, am I really giving You my best? Do I give You my best in every area of my life I'm talking about? You may do it in some areas, but what about those other areas? You see, we are supposed to give Him the whole offering. We are to present my body. That means my whole person, my whole being, back to God for His service. Do you know you're supposed to be serving the Lord every day of your life? The Lord looks beyond the gift to the giver. When we receive from God, we are to look beyond the gift to the giver. We are to love God. We are to respond to His love that He manifested towards us primarily through the offering of Jesus for us. God demonstrated His love for us in the cross. And we look past the bloody sacrifice and we say, that's the love of God for me. My Father loved me that much. And even when we receive benefits, add-ons, thank God for salvation. Amen. That's the greatest gift of all. But everything else is an add-on. And when we get the add-ons, we should be thankful for the add-ons because it's by grace that we got the add-on. Amen. And so the purpose of the gift, folks, is that you and I would look beyond what we've been given. Instead of making a God out of the thing that we've got, we look beyond that to the heart of the giver. And we begin to realize that my Father really loves me. And my Father wants a relationship with me. And if I come to Him, He will never refuse me. We've got to believe that in the love that God has for us. Our love for God is reflected in the way we live our lives. What we spend ourselves on reveals what we treasure. What do you spend yourself on? Where does the majority of our time go? Folks, even we've got our routine daily lives granted, but even in the midst of that, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are to honor your Father in your labors. And everything that we do, we are to honor our God. Amen? We want people to know this wonderful Jesus that we've come to know. We want to make Him known in the earth. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, he said, "For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise," and that's the same word, disesteem, "me shall be lightly esteemed." You will honor those who you love. You will honor those who you love. People who say they love God will honor Him. If you do not honor Him, then you're not loving Him. If you obey Jesus, you are loving Him. We cannot say we love God and ignore Him. You and I, probably everybody in this room, has fallen in love at least once in your life. And you're infatuated, and all you can think about is her or him. And when can we get together again? And when can we be together? And are you with me? There's such a passionate attraction that, hey, I'll cancel all my future plans just so I can be with you. I'm willing to let the mortgage go in the house so I can move in a trailer with you because I love you that much. In marriage, that is. Are you with me today? But when you fall in love, there's that infatuation, there's that desire to be together, and you want to do the things that please each other. If you don't care about how God feels, then you don't really love God. Are you with me today? If you don't care about His feelings, do you know that we were made in His image? And just like we have feelings, God has feelings. God can be grieved. He can be angered. He can be joyful. And so, whatever we do, in word or in deed, we want to do to honor and glorify the one that we love. Now, how? How do I love God? Because we can say, okay, Jesus said, if you love me, you serve me, so I'm going to serve him because I love him. Do you know, even in that, there can be obligation. How do we love God? You learn to love God by experiencing Him. Experiencing His love. It begins with the Word of God, the revelation of Himself to us. And in the Word, we are invited into fellowship. We are invited into the throne of His grace. We are invited to fellowship with Jesus. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. And when we have a relationship with He who is love, you will love Him. You cannot know God and not love Him. Yes. So our love for God will be determined or based upon how much we know Him. And if we fall out of fellowship with Him, guess what? That love will begin to die down too. He has never left, folks. He does not move. God is steadfast. Amen? Amen. He doesn't change. We do. And so we can always come back to Jesus because He's always there waiting for you. Sometimes we feel like I've just blown it. It'll never be the same. God will never love me like He used to. Do you know God never stopped loving you? A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. I'm going to finish with just this analogy. Most of us here have children. And we understand what it's like to have our child go out and do something that embarrasses you. Yeah? I know you have perfect children, but it grieves us. And sometimes grief can be turned to anger. Yeah? You ever been mad at your kids? First of all, because you love them so much that you don't want them destroyed by making wrong choices. And also because those wrong choices reflect upon the parents. You know what I'm talking about? We've seen some people do some horrible things and it becomes public and it's on the media. This young man or this young woman did these awful things. And the next thing you know, it's shifting to mom and dad. They're asking mom and dad how they feel. And they're almost, in a sense, probing them to find out if maybe it's because of them that the child is the way he is. Are you with me? The child can bring dishonor to the family name by their actions. I've been guilty of that. Have you? How many of you have had children that have done that? They've embarrassed you. Have you just felt greed because, you know, this child is really a product of me. This child came out of me. And they're in my image. And they're out there doing these things that are defacing my image. That are making people think that I'm like that. Is this a good analogy? Do you see how the father, and when there's children, they go out and we do things that dishonor him and we lightly esteem him, we bring reproach upon Christ. And God so loved the world. He loves people. He loves everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. And that's why Jesus put it in very strong terminology that it's better that a millstone were hung around your head and you were cast into the depths of the sea than for anyone to cause one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. He's saying by your example, by your life, you could cause someone to go to hell. Do you see how important it is that we walk a life of holiness and purity before God and we stay strong in Him, stay close to Him, and that we live for the honor of His name. We talk about the name of Jesus, esteeming, exalting the name of Jesus. We do that not only by what we say, but what why we do. Amen? Is it time for the church to wake up and repent? Say, God, if I'm not giving you my best, then I'm lightly esteeming you. And when I lightly esteem you, I'm lightly esteeming you in the eyes of the world. I can tell you that when I was out in the world, I watched Christians. I watched their life. Some of them I knew that they were really walking in the light. Very few, but some of them were. And I didn't like to be around them because they made me uncomfortable. But there was a witness there, you see, of the light. And the darkness didn't comprehend it. But then there were those who claimed to be followers of Jesus. And sometimes, folks, unfortunately, that's all people see, are the ones who claim to be followers of Jesus and they live like the devil. They sometimes live worse lives than they do. And they're bringing reproach upon the name of the Lord. And they say, is that what your God is like? Well, look at their followers. When the other religions of the world are living better lives than the people who claim to follow Jesus, that should never be. The Muslims are living pure and upright lives and, you know, they're behaving themselves and in many ways they're waiting until the marriage before they are intimate. And then they look around and they see these people that claim to be followers of Jesus sleeping around town. You see, Jesus said if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It's time for the church to rise up into its identity as light bearers. Amen. We are the light of the world. It's time for us to arise and shine because our light has come. You have the light of Christ. Are you born of the Spirit today? Is Christ in you? If not, you need to receive Christ today. You must be born again or you'll never see the kingdom. And then we begin, if we begin in the Spirit, let us also continue to walk in the Spirit. And as we do so, we will honor and we will glorify our Father. And the world will see that this is real. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because we love and we walk in love. Hallelujah.